A Faithful Message. Hobart, Tasmania, May 1st, 1895. Many outgrown their Advent faith. Because iniquity abounds, the love of many waxes cold. There are many who have outgrown their Advent faith. They are living for the world, and while saying in their hearts, as they desire it shall be, "My Lord delayeth his coming," they are beating their fellow servants. They do this for the same reason that Cain killed Abel. Abel was determined to worship God according to the directions God had given. This displeased Cain. He thought that his own plans were best and that the Lord would come to his terms. Cain, in his offering, did not acknowledge his dependence upon Christ. He thought that his father Adam had been treated harshly in being expelled from Eden. The idea of keeping that sin ever before the mind and offering the blood of the slain lamb as a confession of entire dependence upon a power outside of himself was torture to the high spirit of Cain. Being the eldest, he thought that Abel should follow his example. When Abel's offering was accepted of God, the holy fire consuming the sacrifice, Cain's anger was exceedingly great. The Lord condescended to explain matters to him, but he would not be reconciled to God, and he hated Abel because God showed him favor. He became so angry that he slew his brother. The Lord has a controversy with all men who, by their unbelief and doubt, have been saying that he delays his coming, and who have been smiting their fellow servants, and eating and drinking with, working from the very same principle as, the drunken. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. Satan has controlled their reason, and they know not at what they stumble. Result of separation from God. Just as soon as a man separates from God so that his heart is not under the subduing power of the Holy Spirit, the attributes of Satan will be revealed, and he will begin to oppress his fellow men. An influence goes forth from him that is contrary to truth and justice and righteousness. This disposition is manifested in our institutions, not only in the relation of the workers to one another, but in the desire shown by one institution to control all others. Men who are entrusted with weighty responsibilities, but who have no living connection with God, have been and are doing despite to His Holy Spirit. They are indulging the very same spirit as did Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and as did the Jews in the days of Christ. See Matthew 12, verse 22-29, 31-37. Warnings have come from God again and again for these men, but they have cast them aside and ventured on in the same course. Read the words of Christ in Matthew 23, verse 23. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." These denunciations are given as a warning to all who outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. They say, "We are delivered to do all these things." They also say, "If we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets." "Wherefore," said Jesus, "ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets." What lessons are here? How fearful and decisive! Jesus said, "Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues, and persecute them from city to city." This prophecy was literally fulfilled by the Jews in their treatment of Christ and of the messengers whom God sent to them. Will men in these last days follow the example of those whom Christ condemned? These terrible predictions they have not as yet carried out to the full, but if God spares their lives and they nourish the same spirit that marked their course of action both before and after the Minneapolis meeting, they will fill up to the full the deeds of those whom Christ condemned when he was upon the earth.
The perils of the last days are upon us. Read Matthew 25, verse 14. Satan takes the control of every mind that is not decidedly under the control of the Spirit of God. Some have been cultivating hatred against the men whom God has commissioned to bear a special message to the world. They began this satanic work at Minneapolis. Afterward, when they saw and felt the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, testifying that the message was of God, they hated it the more because it was a testimony against them. They would not humble their hearts to repent, to give God the glory, and vindicate the right. They went on in their own spirit, filled with envy, jealousy, and evil surmisings, as did the Jews. They opened their hearts to the enemy of God and man. Yet these men have been holding positions of trust and have been molding the work after their own similitude as far as they possibly could. Exhortation to repentance. Those who are now first, who have been untrue to the cause of God, will soon be last unless they repent. Unless they speedily fall upon the rock and be broken and be born again, the spirit that has been cherished will continue to be cherished. Mercy's sweet voice will not be recognized by them. Bible religion, in private and in public, is with them a thing of the past. They have been zealously declaiming against enthusiasm and fanaticism. Faith that calls upon God to relieve human suffering, faith that God has enjoined upon his people to exercise, is called fanaticism. But if there is anything upon the earth that should inspire men with sanctified zeal, it is the truth as it is in Jesus. It is the grand, great work of redemption. It is Christ made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. The Lord has often made manifest in his providence that nothing less than revealed truth, the Word of God, can reclaim man from sin or keep him from transgression. That word which reveals the guilt of sin has a power upon the human heart to make man right and keep him so. The Lord has said that his work is to be studied and obeyed. It is to be brought into the practical life. That word is as inflexible as the character of God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The true inspiration to enthusiasm. If there is anything in our world that should inspire enthusiasm, it is the cross of Calvary. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Christ is to be accepted, believed on, and exalted. This is to be the theme of conversation, the preciousness of Christ. Truth to be enthroned in the heart. There is in Battle Creek a class that have the truth planted in the heart. It is to them the power of God unto salvation. But unless the truth is enthroned in the heart, and a thorough transition takes place from darkness to light, those who handle sacred responsibilities are ministers of darkness, blind leaders of the blind. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. God requires that every soul that names his name shall have the truth enthroned in the heart. The time in which we live demands it. Eternity demands it. Pure religion demands it.